I think I've found a good spot for us to have meetings. And we have a big garage in our house. Now that has been converted to the boys' bedroom. So I don't know if that would work.
Next week.
Plus, it's got all Kathy's food stores. So you could snack while learning, I guess. So thank you again for hosting. Now you can see I got dressed up today. A white shirt that matches, kind of. And I actually have shoes today. Look at that. A lot of times I'm, with the work I do with colleges, to get people's attention, I have to joke. And I have to do gimmicks. And so it's really hard for me to not do that when I'm doing this. But before we go further, let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Have us with open ears and have these words be what you want me to talk about this morning. We thank you for Jesus most of all. Amen. So in doing this, and I don't do it very much, but thank you for asking. I kind of dreaded it a little bit, I admit, because one thing that happens is this takes about 8 hours for me to get ready for. Now, is that kind of what it is for you, Ray? I mean, in that kind of range? I mean, when I do a workshop for the college students, to get it from beginning to end, it's 40 hours for me to do one. So I don't create them very often. I have a repertoire that I use. But this is all created, and so I waited a little bit before I accepted from Ray to think about this, and then I have something I'm going to talk about today. And then it was all week getting ready, and this morning, kind of cramming. So I got up 7 a.m. and woke up my son-in-law on the couch. He's sleeping out there because, again, we don't have a lot of bedrooms. So Leah was in one room with Shiloh and Michael was on the couch. So I came out there with my three computer screens and he woke up this morning. And then a second later, he's snoring again. But, you know, so I crammed this morning to get this done. And what we're going to talk about, I have some questions to start. Okay, so let's start with these questions. Now, you're going to do a thumbs up or thumbs down when you hear what I ask you. Okay, everybody's got to do it. Please participate if you would. See, this is me, the college guy, trying to get everybody to interact. All right. Now, who do you trust? How about your mom? There's not a lot of thumbs up. Okay. Do we trust Will? How about dad? Okay, how about your brother? How about sister? Kind of, you don't know really. How about your teammates on your baseball team? Good. Yeah. How about your car? How about your RV? About my computer? No. The last couple days, my computer, all of a sudden, I can't scroll. I have to completely restart. I don't know what's going on. How about Facebook? How about Google?
No, that's no good.
No, you're right. How about the car repair guy? I don't see Callan because then we'd have to, you know. How about the car salesman? Except when you were the salesman, right? Journalists. How about journalists then? How about government leaders? Depends on which ones. How about your emotions? Nah. Now, all these things, trust. I mean, we can't trust any of this stuff. Who is the most trusted in the world? These are groups. Now, I did some research, so I'm researching the trusted groups in the world. The most trusted of any type of person or group in the world. Anybody want to guess? What do you think?
God.
What do you think?
God.
God? Good. Okay, what do you got?
God.
Lawyer. Oh, what survey are you looking at? What do you got?
Church.
Oh, charities. Good, good.
Doctors.
You're, every one of you is wrong. I hate to say. Did you know? Now, this was in 2019, and so I'm going to build up to now. But 2019, this is worldwide. It's called the Ipso poll. And scientists were considered the most trustworthy, with 60% of those surveyed saying scientists. Doctors were 56%. I think veterinarians were like 90%. Teachers were 52%. Military at 43%. Police at 38%. The least trusted group was what? No, police are up there. Military and police. Politicians. Globally, 67%. Believe they are untrustworthy. Now, let's move to companies. Companies and organizations in this country. This is according to a consult poll from last January. And the highest rated company or group was at 42% of people believing and trusting this group. What do you think it is? Name a couple companies. I'll tell you if they're on the list. No.
Amazon,
number two.
eBay.
eBay is not on the list. The most trusted is the post office. See, one thing about surveys, let me tell you something. I don't know if you know a lot about surveys. We studied this in journalism school. They're so easily biased. They're so easy manipulated. You can search for what you want to get a result. So post office, maybe it was the post office union that all was in this to get them highest. Amazon, number two. Google, PayPal, the Weather Channel. And I remember, boys, didn't the Weather Channel, we were at the beach, and Jim Cantore was the big shot reporter, and they were reporting on a storm that was at the beach, and he showed a palm frond right there. Look at this, you know, and we're just standing, what? What is the problem here? You know, there was another time they're showing wind and water over a road, and then in the background, this guy walks by, you know, like, it wasn't. I mean, you trust the Weather Channel? Hershey. What? Processed chocolate? You know, I mean, UPS Cheerios. Now, M&M's is on here. I agree with that one. I like M&M's. All right, and here's something that is kind of surprising, and maybe not. I don't know, because we have a culture that doesn't trust much. 15%. Trust religious leaders. Just 15%. The least trusted, I'm not surprised by this in how we've been brainwashed, is business, bankers, financiers, Wall Street, at only 5% trust those institutions. The least trusted, and this was kind of shocking, but I totally agree with it, is Hollywood. So movies, filmmakers, the shows that we see that are out there, only 4%. So that is interesting, isn't it? Gallup, probably the company, if any of you have heard of surveying, Gallup is the standard. There are many companies that survey and get information, but Gallup historically has been the standard. And there is, as I said a minute ago, when you do a survey, there's bias to that in how you ask the question. Who you ask is very, very important. Randomized sampling, they call it, or trying to make sure that every type of person is included. And I teach this to college students and they don't get it at all. They will survey just the friends in their dormitory room or just the people in their fraternity, so they don't have a true sample. So when we look at surveys, I was taught to look at them with very discerning eye to say, I don't trust this. I don't know the questions. I want to see who you asked. How many people did you ask to make this statement? A lot of surveys, they'll have a sample of 1,000 people that they survey across the nation, but they will generalize that that means for the whole nation, this number out of 1,000 people, but they do it scientifically. I don't want to bore you with that, but did you know, according to Gallup, 33% average confidence is what it is now in this country in 2021, right? There are groups that are down in the last 2 years, and there are reasons, obviously. We've been talking about it. We know what's going on. Who is the highest confidence even now? What is the high? This is in the Gallup poll right now in this country. The highest of any type of organization is small business. That's interesting. Small business. And military next. So military. The least, I'll tell you in a minute. Small business is at 70%, but that has fallen in the last year. It was 75% just a couple years ago. Okay? Military is next at 69%. That has dropped in the last year from 73%. Obviously, what happened in the last month? It would cause us to lack trust, you know? Police at 51%, but that dropped from 48%. It was 53% 2 years ago. So the things you see in the press that cause people to doubt and distrust, right? The medical system down. It was 51%, now down to 44% for obvious reasons. We don't trust what we're being told, right? Public schools down 44%. And Congress, the House and the Senate, are the lowest ever recorded at 12%. Just 12% of people trust our U.S. Congress. Every institution was down in confidence, according to this poll. Think about that. Every type of organization, company, group was down in the last year. That says we got a trust problem, right? Now, as we go more into this, the definition of trust, anybody give me a quick definition? And I'm putting you on the spot. I did look it up. Go.
So I've got an analogy, like if you were to sit in a chair, you're putting your trust in that chair that you won't fall or break it.
Good, good.
Like you believe that the chair will hold you up.
Yeah, okay, that's very visual. There's a reliance on something, right? You're reliant on those legs on the chair, right? You're reliant on its strength, its ability, and or the truth of someone or something. You're depending on someone or something for this trust. And like you mentioned, the chair is an example. That's true. And when we trust things about these groups that we talked about, parents or family or Google, I don't know why you would, but you can trust them, I guess. I don't know. I don't think you can at all. When we trust something, there are things about that that make us trust them. For example, we think our parents want the best for us. Is that true? Do you think your parents want the best for you? Any of you kids, yeah? That they're looking out for you. So when dad says, please do not ride your mini bikes on the road at 5 o'clock for some of the ushers in the back, then they're looking out for us, right? And they care about us. I tell the boys sometimes, I'm going to pick on them, of course, but I say, I care about you. I don't want you to lose an arm today. If it'd be nice if we didn't have to rush in for surgery. And because we love them. So you trust someone if they love you and they look out for you and they care for you. We trust others because it's their job. Okay? We trust the car repair guy because it's his job to fix our car, and then there's a reputation. His trust, he wants to do well because his reputation is at play. If he doesn't do that, he's not going to continue to get the work, right? And so his reputation improves because of that because we trust him. They get financial benefit sometimes from trusting. And so we trust all kinds of things. Like you mentioned just a minute ago, you said the chair, right? And if you really analyze that, a chair, we have a chair in our house. I'm not going to sit in it. I'm just not, because it was Aunt Ruth's. And I don't know if it had termites or I don't know. That one chair, it's fallen apart. And if I know if I sit in it. Now, Josh, you could sit in it. But if Mr. Butch sits in it, there could be issues. Okay, so I'm not going to sit in that chair. I don't trust it. I know there are issues with it. Now, we trust, some of you play ball. EJ, you play ball. Boys play ball. We trust players on our team. But even the best players, like our boys play baseball, as you know, the best players, what is their average? Adam, what's their average? Batting average. No, I'm talking the best players. The best players.
330.
Yeah. So what does that mean? To those of you who aren't baseball people, that means every 10 at-bats, when somebody swings the bat, three times they get on base or get a hit. Only three times. So the rest of the times they fail. But we trust those players because they are the best. And in basketball, I looked this up. I wanted to make sure because we have some basketball guys in here. So I wanted to make sure I was right. But Michael Jordan, generally considered the greatest player ever, right? I think that's still true because of the repertoire of his career. And he was playing when I was in college and all, so I remember him well. But Michael Jordan, Hall of Fame, great player, probably. You know, LeBron may be right up there too. But Michael Jordan for winning championships, MVP, most valuable player, all that, right? But I looked this up. I knew it was true before I even read it. He made less than half his shots in his career. His percentage was 49.7%. Every shot he took, he made one out of two. But he's the greatest ever. Three-point range. Ray, do you know off the top of your head, what is a typical three-point range percentage?
40, he was 27.
I saw 32.7. So he made one out of three from three-point land. And then free throw, when you stand there, you get fouled, hit the three free throw. What's a typical percent that you'd want to make, EJ?
Above
80, yeah. Like 8 out of 10 you want to make. He made 83.5. So this is your all-time greatest player. They trusted him, the Chicago Bulls, trusted him to win games, but he still failed all the time. The chair, you mentioned already. We already talked about that. The car we drove in today. The boys have a truck they bought 350,000 miles on it. Okay? It's a good truck, though. I mean, but we trusted the guy we bought it from to tell the truth. I looked at the so-called Carfax report to tell about the history of the vehicle, and we're basing that on trust that they're being accurate. You know, how many miles does it have? How many repairs has it had? Has it been in an accident? Is the fuel we're putting in it good fuel? We have lots of things we trust. We trusted today stoplights to work. We trusted that the programming of those lights would not cause us to be running into each other right and left. It's really, we trust so much and trust and have faith in those things in a lot of ways. Think about, I started thinking about flying in a plane. Now, I haven't been in a plane in a while, but just the thought of what goes into flying in a plane. You have a license, right? Okay, we're trusting the mechanic. We're trusting the person who made the parts. We're trusting the fuel. We're trusting the FAA flight people, the controllers. We're trusting so many things to have to go right. And the ultimate is, anybody of you kids, all the ones under 15 now, answer. You ever heard of the Apollo program. You ever heard of that? Anybody? What is it?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
Anybody heard of Apollo? The older ones, well, of course we have, because they were heroes. The Apollo space program. When I was a little boy, like your age, I got to watch the first man go up to the moon. I actually went over to Cape Kennedy and watched it. Did you know the Apollo spacecraft had hundreds of thousands of parts that had to work almost perfectly or the vehicle would explode and those astronauts would die? And it was made by the lowest bidder. Think about that. So those parts were made. Our government is involved, of course, and the government had bids from Lockheed Martin, big shot mechanic companies to create this, right? And it was made by the lowest bidder, the lowest one that would come in on the cost to build it. You know, miraculous that it would fly and our shuttle program as well. So all these, I know that you think, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it has a lot to do with everything, because trust has, we have trust in lots of things, and then there's times that our trust is broken, and we have betrayal. Have any of you ever been betrayed by someone? Well, you could call it a betrayal. Anybody else? I've been betrayed by business people that I worked with. Total betrayal. We were friends, and suddenly they're enemies, working against us. You know, we've trusted someone, then we'd be betrayed, we're lied to. Even our own family, and this happens all the time. Spouses, can we totally trust each other? We make mistakes, we do things we shouldn't. We're sinners. We make all kinds of mistakes. In our culture, think about the times our government has betrayed us. I could argue for some things right now. I may not. I will mention, for example, something. When the FDA approved certain chemicals for processing foods, it led down a path of obesity and health issues 40 years ago, okay? So that's where we are now, loving processed foods. My mom, I love my mom, but she grew up she was raising us at a time where everything was in a can. We had I never knew what a real green bean looked like because we had a canned bean. You know, it's true. Canned corn, it was all ready to go. Just dump it out. You know, it didn't come off of a cob, right? So, and what about, do you trust elections right now? Even if we can't prove things, do you trust the election process? These are major things in our culture that have led, as I already said a minute ago, to distrust in all institutions. Everything in our culture right now is less trusted than it was a couple of years ago. So this has been on my mind. That's why I wanted to talk about this today. So when we have trust a broken or betrayal, there are consequences to that, obviously. And I'm thinking, if you lie, you're always a liar. You're never not a liar anymore. And the people that you lie to will always in the back of their mind think that maybe you're lying. Think that's true? I know it's true. Things like, you're caught stealing. You're always a thief. If you're caught on the computer looking at dirt bikes when you're supposed to be doing school, then you're never going to be trusted to do your school, really, without looking at dirt bikes. Right? Is that right in the back, the ushers? All right, so I'm going to use a veterinary example. Is that all right? Yeah. We have Doberman Pinscher. Anybody seen our dog? Anybody know her name?
Chica.
Chica. You got it. So Chica is a Doberman Pinscher. And the Dobermans have a reputation, supposedly, that they are tough guard dogs. Is that true? Anybody? There's movies out where the Dobermans are fierce, and they protect and they attack. And so our Doberman, she's full bred. She's very majestic. She's tough, except that she's not, and she's a giant baby. And the proof of that is when Kathy takes Chica to our neighbor, and they have two elderly beagles. Chica gets out of her car, sees those regal beagles, and gets back in the car. Because the beagles, even though they waddle along because they're elderly, they stand very proud. And Chica sees those beagles and just cowers. Isn't that something, huh? So, but why I bring up Chica, what does that have to do with anything? She was playing, our son, our little grandson was playing with Chica last night at the house. And Chica actually was letting him play. You know, it wasn't, she didn't really want to, I don't think, but she was letting him. And she lies flat on her back. And you've seen this. Have you ever seen a dog? Any of you see a dog where the dog just lies back? And you just got a new dog, right? The new dog, when the dog wants you to scratch her belly, she just lies flat out. She's totally open. She's totally vulnerable. Now, Chica did that with Shiloh. That's not a good idea because Shiloh threw his little truck at her, bonk, and hits her in the head, you know, but she's still trusting. She trusts Shiloh. But that is an example of what trust can look like. Trust is vulnerable. Trust is open and loving. Now, she was very vulnerable, like I said. Now, here's something. This is where I studied. And I don't know if any of you know this, but I learned this. I learned a lot in studying. That's the point, isn't it? The Hebrew word for trust, batak. And I was hoping Danny could make sure that I pronounced that right. But batak means to lie extended on the ground. So the Hebrew word for trust is exactly what the dog does. Lie extended on the ground, open, vulnerable. The Greek word pitho, to persuade or have confidence, is synonymous. So this trust that I'm speaking about, this open, vulnerable trust, is everything to what our relationship with God must be. We trust Him for everything. We believe Him. We have faith in Him in everything in our lives. Unlike those institutions that we just talked about, those institutions, we don't trust them at all. We're at a point where every group in America, we distrust. Even the clergy, even the religious leaders are barely at 15% trust. God's at 100%. And I'm going to give you some scripture and we'll briefly discuss this too, is Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Our trust in God overcomes everything, adversity, trust, confidence in things, our fears and worries. Psalm 56:3, if you'd like to go there. A very short one, but powerful. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And a couple years ago, I don't know how long, but last time I spoke on fear. Anybody remember that? I talked about spiders, and we fear lots of things. But trust in God overcomes that fear. I think I was wrong, by the way, last time when I talked. I said that fear is mentioned hundreds of times, but actually in further research now and further study, it's several hundred times, not hundreds and hundreds of times. But trust in God overcomes fear of all things. Psalm 143:8. Psalm 143:8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. I mean, that we're trusting in God to direct us in everything we do. Everything we do. Where I should walk, where I should go, what should I do, what should I think, who should I see, all these things. Psalm 91:1-2. Psalm 91:1-2. Everybody's heard this. We've all can say it, probably without even going to Scripture. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. When we were raising our children, they were very little, they had memorized this entire psalm. Is that correct, Kathy? Mm-hmm. And it was in a form of a song. Mm-hmm. And for a time, I had it memorized too for the whole thing. But that was this trust in God protects us and shields us. Picture the wings. We're protected by Him, by this trust. Hebrews 13:6. Hebrews 13:6. Who would like to read that? Anybody there real quick? Hebrews 13:6, if you can get there quickly.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
That's right. Boy, in this time we're in, I'll just speak for, I can't speak for you. I can speak for myself. I fear. I have fears that I struggle with of man. I'll be honest. I fear, you ever heard the term being canceled? I fear that a lot. I struggle with that. I'm in a field where I can get canceled for saying some wrong thing instantly, and suddenly I'm out of business. But Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. That fear of man just is a snare. It's like a bear trap. It's always going to snare us, you know, and this fear of man, anybody else in that boat right now that you're kind of, sometimes you're worried? I mean, that's, we talked about fear. We're not to fear, but we're human and we sin and we fail. And it is a struggle not to fear. You know, I'm sure any of you that are in business, if you do certain things in a certain way, you're out. In this culture we're in right now, it's very possible you could be goodbye. You know? I'm sure, and Alan, if you did certain things that possibly got out to the press on a national level, it could put you out of business. You know? Do we fear that? What does it say? The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Boy, is that comforting. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118:8. And Philippians 4:19. Who can get to that very quick? Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. How about one of the ushers? I can barely see. Good, go.
My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ.
Yeah, He supplies all of our needs. All we have to do is trust Him. Have confidence, believe Him. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And I'll give you a couple more. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We doubt. You're going to the beach, right, boys? I heard that. The waves just move around all the time, don't they?
Best thing for like 2 nights or 1 night.
Yeah. If you put a little boat out there, those waves will just take that boat and move it everywhere. You don't know where it's going, do you? Is that true when you're at the beach? You can't tell where that little boat to go. It's just going to go like the waves. And that's when we're doubting, that's what we're like. We're just moving around. Might as well be a paper airplane flying around. We have no idea where it's going. We have no compass. And this one, this last one I'm going to give you is Psalm 37, 1 through 3. Very helpful to me personally. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Do not be fret because of corrupt politicians. Do not fret because of the election fraud. Do not fret because of the economy tanking. Do not fret because of the gas prices going up. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That's so comforting. So trust, and the whole point of this is trust is everything, isn't it? In our faith. We're trusting that every word of God is true. Every promise that God has made, He has fulfilled. That God never betrays us. That never leaves us. He never lies to us. Am I right? That He never lies to us. That He never betrays us. That He never deceives us. Because if He did, it's all for naught, isn't it? That's why we trust Him. So no, has He ever lied to us? No. Has He ever betrayed us? No. Has He ever broken a promise? No. On the other hand, in this room right now, we have lied. We're not infallible. In this room right now, we're not all trustworthy. Have I ever lied? Of course. Am I completely trustworthy? No. No. Would you die for me, any of you? That's pretty hard to hear, you know. I always think, what if I were in a situation I had to die for my family? Would I do it? I don't know. I don't know if I would. I hope I would have the courage to stand. I don't know. Would you die for your brother? Sometimes brothers want to, you know, they want to really hit each other and do stuff, but how about for your mother? You know? Well, Jesus did, right? There's nothing He did. He's completely blameless. But He loved us so that He died for us willingly. He didn't have to. He willingly did it. If Your will be done. It's Your will, Father. Can this cup pass from me? You know? But we trust Him. God is the only one we can trust. He's the only one that we can have complete confidence. He's the only one we can put our batak, that Hebrew word. Not any of our political leaders, not our family members, not our brothers, not our mechanics, no one. Because He's worthy. He's trustworthy. He's our all in all. All right. Lastly is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But it goes further, doesn't it? Because a lot of times we say we read this and trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but we don't go further in all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Boy, is that powerful. And that is that the end of the... I hear the alarm going off. So thank you for listening. That's all I have today. Trust. I mean, it's not like it's... this. I have a fear of man as I speak to you, because I fear, is this a simple message that nobody's listening to, and that goes through your mind as you're when you're presenting, that nobody's really listening. We just want to get out. We want to go to lunch or whatever. But I just hope this speaks to you as it did to me as I'm studying to get ready for this. So thank you, Father, for your love of us, and we can trust you with everything in our lives. We can trust you with every decision we make, and you are worthy. Thank you for Jesus most of all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I have the, just a couple things real quick here. There we go. All right.
So what is that? Let's talk about for a few moments. Thank you, Butch. That was great. Thank you. So what does that mean from a practical perspective, from a perspective of where we're at every day? So when we coached basketball, if someone was putting a full court press on us, sometimes it would be a three-quarter court press, which means that they're not up in your face, but they're laying back a little bit. And that's actually a very difficult press to break for a number of reasons. But what we would tell the guards is when you get the ball, you got to hold on to it for a fraction of a second. Now, when you're in the locker room, every guard in the world goes, oh, okay. But when it's the middle of the fourth quarter and that team has just stole the ball four or five times, that fraction of a second can feel like an hour. It can feel like 10 minutes to those point guards. It's really where we all live at, that most of what trust I find entails means to wait as a Christian. Just wait that fraction of a second. I think of singles that we're saying wait. You remember what I said last week, that singles have a very small God, really, really small God. If I don't do this, if I don't take this person, if I don't like this person, I'm going to be an old spinster. I'm like, you're 18. You have a lot of years ahead of you. But that waiting feels like that guard holding that ball for a fraction of a second. If you ever played football, there's certain plays where the running back has to wait for just a fraction of a second. And that did you know that during the course of a 60-minute football game, there are only 4.5 minutes of action? And during the course of that little small fraction of a second, it can feel like it takes so long. Sometimes you have to tell a defender, you have to wait in that moment, a linebacker. In business, sometimes I want to reinvent the wheel. Sometimes I want to get ahead of myself. God has clearly defined to go this way, and sometimes we want to make a new path. I really believe that trust involves a lot of waiting. But waiting doesn't mean you sit around and do nothing. Waiting means you continue serving and doing what you're doing. A lot of times we have a hard time doing. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. There's a lot of normal things around us that are changing, and so it's easy to jump the gun, if you will. And so thank you, Butch. That was a great blessing. All hearts and minds clear. Anybody else want to add to that at all? Very good. Thank you for being in your place this week. One of the thoughts that keep coming to my mind is I think of, you know, this is kind of the downside of doing organic church, is that sometimes we end up homeless. It's always organic church, the way we do it, has a lot of pluses. It's just so stress-free. I was thinking of the different scenarios I've pastored in where it's just like there's constant debate over things. And usually those debates involve things that have nothing to do with what God has called us to do. I remember one time in a business meeting, the church sat around arguing about literally where the evangelist could plug his RV at. I can solve that. I'll just make a decision and let's not argue about it. How about that? But this is kind of the downside of organic church, in that you end up being a little bit mobile at times, and a lot of the bells and whistles that we would have if we would entrap ourselves with debt and things like that, we don't have. But honestly, the thought that's been in my brain is, think of Christians in Afghanistan the last few weeks, as people have literally opened their doors and started to fire upon them, we have no problems. Yeah, we have problems, I understand, but we have no problems in comparison to that. And if we're a little hot, a little crowded, honestly, you know, I love you, but honestly, I really don't care in, from that perspective. I really don't care. We obviously, I don't want to be stupid on purpose and be unloving on purpose, but we just need to keep our eyes on the Lord. But this week, what a great meeting this week. What a great gathering. Thank you, Brother Butch. I appreciate you sharing the word. And wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. It's real easy for me right now. This week, I was getting a lot of prices on things. And we may be trying to build something at the worst time in the last 100 years, honestly. I've been getting all the prices. I'm going, this is not a good thing. I was basing a lot of the pricing off of last year's prices. But the Lord will lead us in the way that we need to go. It's really easy to make some decisions in these moments and trust in my own wisdom. Be not wise in my own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it's really easy to get your own wisdom going, think, well, I can fudge my principles here, and I can do that, and we can have something concrete right in front of us really quickly. But wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Sometimes you have a business deal going, or you have a client who asks you a question, or a customer who asks you a question, and it's easy to want to kind of fudge the answer, not give the whole truth a little bit, and wait on the Lord, be of good courage. God will take care of your reputation. So many ways to apply this. Sometimes somebody says something about you that's not true and you want to jump in, and honestly, you're probably going to make it worse by doing that. And you have to rest in misunderstanding. And you have to let God take care of your reputation. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Sometimes we're worried about our kids, aren't we? We're worried about our children. And we're so overcome with fear, and we want to kind of get in the middle of that and try to correct their thinking, and you're probably going to make it worse half the time, if not most of the time. And we have to keep an open door, keep the welcome mat out, and we have to keep our mouth shut half the time. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Boy, there's so many ways to apply this. Very good. I think with all the negativity that surrounds you young people, I think that it's easy to kind of get a quick trigger finger right now on what do you want to do in life. And wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. America's had bad times before. Think about World War II, when half the 18-year-olds were getting shipped off overseas and very few of them were coming back. The American morale in the 70s was very, very low. After the riots of the late 60s, civil rights, Nixon impeachment, gas rationing, the Iran hostage crisis, the American morale was very, 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 very low. And so we've been through things like this before as a country. So I don't think this is the first time. I heard on the news the other day where Australian leaders are using the term New World Order. First time I heard that was from a Republican, by the way, 1992, I believe it was. George Bush, Sr. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. If you settle in your heart as a Christian that the worst thing that happens to you is you died and going to be with Christ, you're going to be okay in your spirit. The New Testament is written that way. Jesus said to all people that would come to him, if any man come after me, you look at Mark chapter 8, he said this to the believers as well as he said this to the disciples as well as the multitude. If any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. When he said that, the Persians had invented crucifixions. The Romans perfected it in that they wanted to cause the most amount of shame and the most amount of fear in people, that if you disobey the mandates of the state, this is what will happen to you. So when Jesus comes along, it was a new term. You never see it in the Old Testament. You do see hanging on a tree, but you don't see the word cross as it was used in the New Testament. When Jesus comes along and said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. They knew exactly that. That was not a beautiful expression, but it is beautiful in the New Testament perspective, from a believer's perspective, because before glory, there's sufferings. And it was Andrew who, before he was, I believe, crucified upside down, as Peter was, the apostle Andrew said, I have long since awaited this happy day. A New Testament believer viewed death as a way to glory. That sounds really strange to the American ear. Start reading your New Testament. Keep reading your New Testament. Get out of the Bible gatewayism of just getting a verse that just sounds good. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. It's a good verse, but it's obviously a good verse. But if you read the New Testament from the perspective of these people, if they believed on the Lord, many of them, the reason why they had all things in common, many of them that believed, they would lose their jobs. And their financial well-being would be hurt because this new sect was being persecuted. If you read the New Testament from a stance that it's okay to be persecuted and it's actually okay to lose your life for Christ, the New Testament will start making unbelievable sense to you. Anything other than that is trying to fit the New Testament into our view of God. And it doesn't really work that well. It doesn't work well at all. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, and I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He said, which is far better. And Paul, he was written by a man who was at the top of his game, at the top of his career, who found a pearl of great price, and he went and sold all to find that pearl of great price. I was thinking as we were looking at this scripture here, really fast here, and we're going to close here. But in Jeremiah 17, thank you so much, Butch, for reading this verse. But in Jeremiah 17, the scripture says, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Let's think about a branch that's away from the tree, that's cut from the tree. We're not really yard nuts, and so when we cut limbs, my idea is just to leave it there, it'll dry up, and then it'll be mulched by the mower. I don't win a lot of Yards of the Year awards through a local homeowners association. But you take that branch and you cut away from the tree, it just dries up. This is what I find, and this is why so much of my counseling is you have to wake up feeling richness inside from God. You have to wake up full. And the truth is that life will dry you out. It'll eat you up and spit you out, and it'll dry up the most inner part of your being. But the man that trusts in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. You know what? You know what's happening? If you watch really closely, there's a verse in the book of the Revelation that said, he that is holy, be holy still, and he that is filthy, be filthy still. You look at that verse, you're like, is the Bible telling us to be filthy? No, it's saying, if you're going to get on the Lord's side, get on the Lord's side. If you're going to follow Baal, follow Baal. And what I'm kind of seeing is people that have been kind of surrounding God around Christianity, but they really want to go out and sin. You know what they're doing? I'm seeing them go out and sin. And I'm seeing people that really want to serve God. You know what they're doing right now? They're getting deep into God. They're getting deep into Him. You know what? Get deep into Him. The Bible says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. You see a fatness, a richness, green leaves that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Boy, there's a lot of heat out there, isn't there, right now? But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The fruit in John 15, I believe, is the fruit of the Spirit. That was pounded in me for years. That's winning souls to Christ. But I believe that the fruit in John 15 is yielding the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that the difficult times give Christians more of an opportunity. It's like pressing olives, and that olive oil comes forth. It's like pressing those fruits that they try, and those vegetables where they try to extract oil out of. They've got to press in order for oil to come forth. And this is how a lot of us feel in our spirits. We feel like the news of the world is overcrowding us and pressing in on us. But Paul said, and we'll close with this, always bearing about the dying, or the pressing, I'll say, the dying of Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest.